Let's give the Lord one more I love you hand clap as we get ready to go. Amen. All right. Real quick, when you came in this morning, you got a packet of information. It's called our bulletin. There's a lot of stuff in it today. Everything's key, but what we want to focus in for 1 second is the conference. November 4th and 5th, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's called More, because we want more of Jesus. We want more of God's Holy Spirit. We want more of God's outpouring. We want more of God's anointing for our lives. We want to be connected more with God than disconnected from God. And we're believing and praying that God would do a great thing here over that weekend. There's three sessions. The first session is at the 8:30 and 10 o'clock. Those are the same sessions. The second session is Sunday night, and then the third session is Monday night. I want to encourage you to make it if you can. I want to encourage you now to mark your calendar and say, you know what, I'm going to rearrange what I need to make sure that I'm here Sunday morning, I'm here Sunday night, and I'm here Monday night. And I believe that there's going to be a breakthrough. I believe that God's going to do a great work here, not only as a church, but also individually as a people. And so Pastor Dennis is an amazing man of God who preaches uncompromised, who preaches like a ball of fire, who just is dynamic in how God is using him, and as well as Christian Rain will be leading with a worship team here on all the sessions, morning and nights. And so I encourage you to be here. Also, you know, two more quick things is next week we have our Cafe Sunday. I shared earlier that Cafe Sunday has one function. It's to get to know one another. That's why we do Cafe Sundays. Really no other reason. There's no hidden agenda behind it. It's because we want you to know other people in the church. We want you to make friends with other people in the church. It's a relationship building thing that we do. And last month was very successful. We believe many people got to meet new people and sit and just have a piece of pizza with one another. Yeah, encourage you to be there. If you plan so, in there, there's a form to fill out, and you can drop it off and see someone at the Welcome Center. And then this Wednesday will be our last family night of October, not of ever, but of October. We've had a great time with family night. Again, about building a relationship with one another. Someone asked, how do you put, you know, five-year-old kids and with, you know, adults in a room and still have fun and worship and hear some word and play some games? I'm like, by the grace of God. By the grace of God and the mercy of God, because it's a God thing that we're doing. It's fun. It's great to see young families dancing with their kids and singing and then seeing people who don't even have kids interacting and praying with the younger families and vice versa. And it's a great evening, and it's not maybe what you expect, but it's fun, and there's Jesus there, and it's a great time to know one another. And so I encourage you, if you can make it, to come on out to that. I want to share a word with you, but I believe today's more going to be more about ministry and allowing God to touch you in a new way or in a greater dimension or do a new thing in you. Last week I shared a message about perception. How many people know that sometimes perception isn't always reality? We talked a little bit about that. We perceive things to be one thing, and man, they're not. You know, I look at, you know, my favorite sports team. I perceive them to go all the way this year. And it's kind of looking like we may not do that. Perception isn't always reality. But what helps us to understand what we may be seeing is discernment, if it's reality or not. What I want to share with you today is a word that I've entitled The Need for Spiritual Discernment. The ability to discern what is truth and what is false. See, God wants to speak and still does speak with his people. I hear people say, well, God doesn't talk to me. No, God will talk to you. God will talk to you. God will say things to you. You don't need the pastor to tell you what God's saying. You don't need the worship leader, the Sunday school teacher. You don't need someone else to tell you what God's saying, because God desires to speak with you and to have an open communication, an open relationship, a dialogue with you on a daily basis. And so a lot of times we say, well, God doesn't speak to me, so that's why I have a hard time telling if it's real or not, if I'm discerning if it's truth or if it's false. But God desires to speak with you. And we have the ability and the privilege of not only hearing God, but we have the privilege and honor and the ability to have him lead us through life, making the right decisions and choices based off of our discernment of what we're involved in. And I don't know about you, have you guys ever, this is me, have you ever maybe perceived something to be one way, but it was the absolute opposite? Right? But then as you grew into whatever, a different like area or arena and things of God, that same thing or same a likeness would pop up, and then you look at it like, oh no, that's not truth. That's not what I thought it was going to be. I've never been there. Because you grew into a knowing, you grew into an understanding. And God wants to do that in our lives as believers as you go through this thing called life. Because every day we will come face to face with something that we're going to have to discern. Is it God? Is it, or should I act because I know this is where God's leading me, directing me, speaking to me? So we have to have a discernment within us. A spiritual discernment. And I'm going to go through a few things because today I'm going to be very honest with you. After the weekend, we were real spiritual after our session, and we were up real late and got home last night. And when I get tired, I it's like I get kind of almost dialed in a little different with God. And I was up this morning at 5 o'clock praying for service and looking, and then I got up and I stayed at my desk, and the Lord began to have me write some things down when I got here regarding what I was praying for. And it was very simply this, that He wants to move in His people in such a dimension that discernment is just a natural part of who they are. But what He wants to do is He wants to fill you to capacity with the Holy Spirit. He wants to strengthen some of you because you've been weak. You've been going through a battle. You've been going through a situation and a circumstance. It's been stealing your strength. And when you're not strong, what happens is we can't make the proper choices and decisions because our discernment, our antennas are down because we're thinking about, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that. And God wants to do a new work in you. He wants to do a new thing. He wants to revive something that's been slowly draining away. He wants to move in a dimension where He wants to bring clarity to your ability to hear Him. Remember AM radio? Thank God for satellite. Right? Remember AM radio? Or FM radio? You had to dial, right? And all of a sudden, you'd be listening to that song. You're listening to the Bay City Rollers. And you're, some of you know that from the 70s there. And you're jamming away, and all of a sudden it gets, and you got to reach over. You got to tune it in, right? Got to take that knob, and you got to begin to tune. And if you go too far one way, it goes totally out, and if you got to bring it, and you got to work it to tune it in. God wants to give you clarity of hearing. He wants you to tune in to what He's saying. He wants you to tune in your spiritual antennas to the moving of God's Spirit. He wants to do that today. He wants to not only do that, but He also wants to, in the process of having you get a better understanding of the ability to hear Him, He wants to begin to deposit revelation knowledge, truth of who He is and what the Word of God says. Let me take you to a scripture. Annie, I don't have this. This switched. If you were here at the first service, I'm going to read this to you. You can stay seated. It's not on the screens this morning. Jesus came to His disciples and He asked them, this is out of Matthew, the 16th chapter. He says, who do people say the Son of Man is? What He's saying is like, what do you and what do people know them to be? Are saying about me? And He says this, well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, and or even maybe even one of the other prophets. Then Jesus asked them and says, but who do you say I am? And then Simon Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Here it is. Jesus, He said, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven revealed this to you. You didn't learn it from any human being. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have in store today. Father, let this time be a time that would honor you, that would glorify you, that would continue to bless you. Let this time be a time where we'd be open to receive what you would pour into us. Let this be a time where we would be reverent of how you would move this morning, that we would be open to the way you would move, even though it may not be the way we're used to. Father, let your will be done this day. Let your Spirit move with power and might and authority. Father, bring transformation, bring renewal, bring revival to our lives. Touch our minds, touch our hearts, make us whole this day. Father, bring that change with such a tangible evidence of you moving that others would see and come to a knowledge of you being their Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I just read to you the account of Jesus asking his disciples who he is according to what other people would say about him. What's the perception that people have of me? Well, some see you as this prophet. Some see you as that prophet. If you went to the Sadducees and the religious folk, they were like, he's a heretic. He's the devil himself incarnate here in human flesh. And so you would talk to different people, and they'd give different opinions of him. And then Simon Peter says this. He says, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, you know that because the Lord revealed that to you, and you now look at me and can look all around me and you can discern that I am the Son of God, that I am the truth, that I am the I am. You didn't learn it from somebody else. You didn't learn it from another person in the synagogue. You didn't learn it from another small group leader. You didn't learn it from your mother. You learned it from God himself. He gave you the ability to discern and see truth versus what others may say isn't so true about who he was. And just like Peter that day, God wants to deposit that ability to discern in you. Well, what is discernment? Discernment simply is this. Discernment is defined as the ability to grasp and comprehend what is obscure. It's the ability or the act to perceive what the truth of something is, to know that it's true. See, discernment is the power to see what is not evident a lot of times to the average mind. Discernment also will stress the accuracy is the ability to see the truth. Spiritual discernment is the ability to see the difference between truth and error. That's discernment. I wish I had discernment to the level I have it now when I was younger. Man, life would have been different. Choices would not have been made the way they were made. Because at 18, I thought I knew everything. And at 18, my life was kind of like driven by my senses. What I saw, what I heard, what I smelled, what I was able to touch and feel. And so everything was based off of those parts of who I was as a person, my senses. Yet the Holy Spirit is such greater than that. He uses our senses, but he's a part of that because if he's in us and he's moving through us, and he gives us the ability to see the truth of that by how he would move through us. Man, I wish I had that at 18. I think about that. I might have only gone to one college instead of three. Right? I might have made other choices where it didn't lead me down a wrong road or a wrong path. But I can't change yesterday. All I can do today is say, God, give me what you have for me now. Pour it into me right now, God. I can't go back and try to re-discern something, refigure something. No, but what I can do is I can learn from that. But man, I can take what you have for me now. Because I got a future ahead of me, and it starts now, and it's going to go now and move forward and forward and forward. And so here Peter is, and he tells Jesus that. And I didn't have this scripture used earlier. I used a different scripture, but I think it gives us a better understanding of what discernment is, because other disciples and other people around Jesus who were with him gave them different answers. Think about that. They saw the same Jesus. They saw him healing. They saw him preaching. They saw him loving. They saw him caring. They saw him tending for people. And they had different answers because they discerned something different. They looked at it through a different lens of understanding, of knowledge, of wisdom, of who actually Jesus was. And yet, he looks at Peter, and Peter's like, man, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. No man told them that. Because what told them was the Spirit of God that was moving in him, that was touching his heart, touching his mind, touching his intellect, touching every part of who he was. And so when I think of spiritual discernment, I ask myself, well, what is the foundation of me receiving it, right? We can talk about it. I don't know about you, but I'm like, okay, how do I get it? How can I obtain what I need for everyday life? How can I obtain a greater sense in the Spirit, a greater sense of God moving, a greater sense of how God wants to lead me and direct me and guide me? How can I receive this spiritual discernment? It starts at step one, which everything should always start at this step. That is a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. Notice I said committed. Committed. In other words, my first foundational truth in obtaining spiritual discernment is that I have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I got to have a one-on-one. I got to have time with Jesus. And it's very simple to start that relationship, to take the first step in that, is asking him to be a part of your life. Jesus. 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 If I could sing, I'd just bust into him. There's just something about that name. Come into my heart. Lord, I recognize. I understand that you truly are the Son of God. God, I recognize that that is not a jewelry symbol that we should just wear around our neck, on our ears, or shirts that just have it. But I recognize that that is the ultimate symbol of the agape love that Daddy has for his children, which I happen to be one. So Jesus, I accept the fact as truth and reality that you died on that cross. And that when they took you off, they put you in the ground. And after you were in the ground, you rose from the ground, from the grave, and you sit at the right hand of the Father. That's where it begins. Because if we're talking spiritual discernment, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only are you at the right hand, but I accept you as Lord and Savior. I ask you to be a part of my everyday life. I now turn from who I was to who you want me to be. And I walk that path. That's step one. Step two simply is this, is that we need to be filled and imparted, or filled with the Holy Spirit, so he can impart truth and wisdom to us. Throughout the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom. It says, ask for wisdom and I will give it to you. Are we asking for the wisdom and the knowledge of God to help us through everyday life? Through the ability to see through the circumstance or what's around us to make a proper decision and choice, is that truth or is that error? And so it starts, the second thing is I've received Jesus, but now I have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I got to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, down my arms to the end of my fingertips. I got to be consumed by the presence of God living and housed within me. That's step two. I've received Jesus as Lord and Savior because he is who he says he is. And I need now the power. I need the authority. I need the fine tuner, right? Remember the big stereo systems that some of you bought at Silo for like $3,000? Remember those stereo systems? And it wasn't about the system, it was about the size of the speakers, we thought. Bigger speaker, better. And when you bought one, you displayed that baby right in your living room. Big speakers going on. But then you'd buy this thing called the tuner. Because the tuner would even get you dialed in even better, you know, with better clarity and better dialed into whatever station you listen to. See, we need the Spirit because the Holy Spirit's the tuner. The tuning factor into our relationship, our move with God. Our ability to hear him, see him, sense him. But then what we need to do is that we need to know that spiritual discernment can be found through the studying and the applying of God's word. Here's what I find. I don't want to say this, but I have to. Many believers love Jesus. They serve Jesus. They worship Jesus. They come to church services. But they never open their Bibles. You can read statistics. People are honest when they take surveys. Statistically, they never read their Bibles. But for me to know the authentic, for me to know if it's a counterfeit, I need to know the authentic greater. And for me to know the authentic, which is Jesus, I need to know what the Word says. And so for me to gain spiritual discernment is found in here. It's found right in this book. And I've said at the first service, there's multiple translations. I know people will get upset with me when they say, well, you told them to find a translation that fits them well. Yes, because you have to start your spiritual journey somewhere. Because you might buy a Bible that you don't understand the translation, because you might buy the New King James Bible. I know some people say, well, if it's not the New King James Bible, then it's not anointed. No, that's not true. God's Word is God's Word, and God's Word is anointed. So some people, I don't really get it. I can read it, but it's not my favorite because it's the Old English. So you find a translation that when you read it, you understand it. Because when you get an understanding, all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to do a new thing in you. So not only am I receiving Christ and being committed to this relationship with Him, and not only asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm getting my spiritual antennas, I'm getting an understanding of who God is. I have to know the authentic. We know the authentic through prayer, through reading of the Word, and through worship, through fasting, through the spiritual disciplines that God has called all of us as believers to do. And some of them aren't easy. Listen, some of them are not easy. Fasting? Not easy. Because we have to deny ourselves something. Setting time aside in our busy schedule to read for a half an hour and study when you have way too many kids? Not easy. Not easy to get up in the morning and sit in your kitchen table with a cup of coffee an hour before you have to get up to go to work to say, you know what, I'm going to give you an hour, God. I know you deserve more, but I'm going to start with an hour. I'm going to start with 10 minutes. I'm going to start with 5 minutes. It's not easy. But the reality is anything that is as precious as Jesus and obtaining that relationship and the benefits that we have, is it really going to be that easy? Think about life. Is life easy? You got to climb. You got to do what you... It's not easy. But if I want discernment, I got to do it. I got to know what the Word says. Because if I don't know what the Word says and something begins to happen, I can't rightfully make a decision or a choice, because I don't know which way God would want to go or what God would want to do. God's saying, when we become spiritually discerning, there's amazing things that happen. Amazing things that'll happen. And so, relationship with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, studying and chewing on the Word of God, applying it to every part of our lives, living by faith, an obedient lifestyle. Living by faith, an obedient lifestyle. See, this is a part of how we gain discernment, is we live in obedience with God. We live in obedience to what the Word of God says. We live in obedience to the unction of the Spirit of God moving in us. See, but there's a battle that rages. And the battle that rages that we battle with all the time is the battle between the natural man and the spiritual man. The natural, the carnal, the flesh, compared to the spirit. See, we battle between the two. There's a battle because the natural man always wants to fulfill and gratify the desires of the flesh, the earthly things. And the spirit man will look at them and say yes or no, depending on what it is, and will want us to either not do it or do it. And so there's a battle. And so what we have to do is come to terms with, are we living and allowing the spirit man to overrule the natural part of our lives? But when the spirit man overrules the natural part of our lives, discernment begins to set. It becomes much easier. You know, when I first came to know Jesus, okay, not come to know Jesus, that was a little kid, but when I really made a decision to follow God, when I decided to leave the world in the sense of stop doing or doing what I knew God didn't want me to do, I can honestly say it was probably one of the hardest things I've did. It was difficult. It was tough because there was a pull to go back. There was an enticement. It was because my eyes were seeing one thing. My ears were hearing one thing. My senses were telling me one thing in the natural, in the carnal, in the flesh. And my spirit was like, wasn't as strong as it should have been at the time. And so it was just starting to grow. So there was just this battle, you know, this battle to go here or not to go there. But what helped me was by being disciplined and walking in obedience to what I was starting to learn, even though it was tough. If I didn't make those first couple choices, I think it would have been even harder to receive the fullness of what God had for me. And so to walk in that obedience, I had to have the natural man really die to itself. I had to remove it, and it still tries to reel its ugly head up in my life, and it will all the time. But because the spirit man is so much stronger, because the Holy Spirit is so much stronger than my earthly flesh and desires, it can push the other one down and push it out and remove it. But I have to have that spirit activated in me. And that's why I think this morning in prayer, God was saying that. God was talking about the importance of us as believers being filled with God's presence. That us as believers allowing that presence of God to strengthen us. As us as believers to ask that our ears would be open to hear him and what he would say and what he would do. Us as believers asking for that knowledge that when I read the word, I know what it says. I know what it says. Have you ever read the word and not understood it? Have you ever read the word and closed the Bible because you're like, what was that? Right? Right? You ever do that? You ever read the Bible and you're like, Pastor said to read this thing. I just read a whole chapter on mildew and mold. What is that about? I just read about, you know, about the you know, coins and a fish and a seesaw. What is all that about? I just read about you know, some guy being taken out and being killed because he loved Jesus. Oh man, I don't know if I want to tell anyone I love Jesus. You ever read the Bible and go, holy cow? Right? But what happens is, when we take the time to allow God's presence to be a part of us, and we ask him before we read, Lord, help me. Show me what I'm reading. What does it mean? What is it about? Because then when we know, then we can discern. We know we can discern. We know we can discern. I think that's why God was so talking so much this morning about having the ability to be filled, to be heard, hear his voice, to understand, to gain those things. Because like any father, well, not like any father, but as God, our heavenly father, as God, Abba Daddy, he cares that much about you that he doesn't want to see you go backwards in life. He wants to see you be propelled in life. He wants to see you move forward in life. He wants to see you propel. I hear people say, well, you know, well, God's just beating me up and he's got me in this place to, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. God calls people to be martyrs. We don't make ourselves the martyrs. And there's not many martyrs in the sense of, like, you know, Mother Teresa and people like that. God wants you to advance in life. He wants your kids to advance in life. But we advance because we know and we have discernment on the decisions that we have to make in every day. The wisdom that we need. And so God showed that to me. But we battle that spirit man against that carnal man. The carnal man has nothing to do with God. He hasn't been spiritually reborn. He hasn't been renewed, revived. He hasn't, you know, when you read in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, it talks about the flesh and sin and the power of the flesh. And see, that's the natural, that's the carnal man. But the spirit man has been bought with a price. He's been renewed and he's been revived. And in the process of that renewal and revival, things happen on the inside. We become a changed person. We're not the same as we were. And we can't let anyone try to tell us who we were to become that again today. God doesn't want that. He wants you to move forward. But he wants you to discern. He wants you to know the difference. But it comes down to those 4 points. And this so changed this morning because there's such a sense of what God was doing and even people confirmed it. But it comes down to this. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you had someone pray with you, or have you asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Are you chewing and studying and trying to figure out what the Word of God says? Are you taking time reading your Bibles? Are you walking in obedience? That's what we're going to pray for. I'm done today. You know me, I'm long-winded. I'm done. Because I know that God wants to do something for you and in you as we pray for you. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can put that CD on, Mike. We're done. What does that mean? I said earlier, it's a prayer. It's a prayer that you pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to be a part of your life. Have you done that? Have you asked Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit? Like the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, where the power of God fell upon that room and the Spirit consumed it, that it just, history was made. Let's just stand to our feet real quick. Bishop, can you come on down here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Dan, can you bring Pastor Shirley down?